and welcome to Forex Overland, the Adventure Travel Inspiration Podcast. My name is Andrew St. Pierre White. This podcast is brought to you in association with BF Goodrich Tires. Today, Paul and I get together. Well, not today, actually. It was a little while ago. This isn't live. We were sitting in a riverbed next to our Land Cruiser in the middle of Namibia. And we decided to have a chat about packing your vehicles. We made two videos about it. This has been compiled into one podcast. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, I don't
know. Very good. You're a bit anal packing, to be honest with you.
I'm good at packing.
I know you're very good. I'm actually a bit anal packing my own vehicle too. I want to pack my vehicle my way. So that's why I just leave you to it.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, why pack well? Okay? Because when you've packed badly and you've destroyed kit and you've broken stuff, you learn to pack well. You learn that actually. I think the thing with packing for me has always been, it must be easy to access. That's probably the key element of any vehicle preparation, is when you stop, you do not want to be unpacking too many things to get to something.
Yeah.
Painful, and you don't do it. So the thought process of actually looking at your vehicle and saying, I'm parked up, what do I want to get out first? Table, chairs, you know, what's going to be the things? How am I going to use my vehicle during the day?
I get that, but how do we do that? What is our I understand the mental attitude of, which is quite obvious, but I mean, once you've done a few trips, that becomes more and more obvious. What are your techniques of making that work? Because it works very well with this truck. So help our viewers figure out.
The truck in the background has been sort of catered for people to use as a sort of package deal. So people who've never driven a vehicle come to Safari Drive, and they engage them and their vehicles. And so what I've looked at when I looked at building this vehicle was, can you get to kit easily? So the double cab gives us... It's access. It's as simple as that. It's access.
It is access, but there's more to it than that. I mean, I see you've had special boxes made.
Oh, yeah, no,
and
totally.
And so everything kind of...
Well, there's lots of ways you can put stuff in a vehicle. You can put it in drawers, you can put it in boxes, you can put it in bags. You can put boxes in boxes. And I think there again, you're looking at what looks after the kit. Now, Safari Drive, if we use them as an example, have got quite unique bags that they've designed. They've been going 23 years. And the owners, in their wisdom many years ago, took on the idea of putting soft bags. So instead of a hard plastic box where you put everything in, like pots and pans and cutlery and all that, they've got a padded soft bag.
Which looks after the kit.
Which actually flaps. It flaps two flaps that way, like a box, and two flaps that way. And it's a PVC padded bag, square in shape, and it really does look after the kit.
Where can people get those bags?
Well, we have them made in Cape Town. You can have bags made by anyone if you can find someone who can stitch properly and make it up. So it doesn't have to be one particular bag manufacturer.
Yeah.
It's the idea behind it that you want to use.
You measured them and you said to them, I want bags this high, this tall, this wide, made out of this material because I want...
Well, we use two things. We make the bags very differently. So we've got a food bag, which is an insulative, sort of like a squashy foam, but it's more like a plastic really. But that gives a lot of insulation, and it's a canvas. It's a D250 ripstop canvas. And that fits in. I mean, it's what the rooftop tents are made out of. It's a really nice canvas bag with straps. So that's all our food goes in there.
It's worked very well.
And that has boxes of stuff. We've got a few Kilner jars in there. We've got the eggs in a special egg box. And that does work well. You can lift that bag out. And the big thing about any box or thing that you use, it must not be too heavy to lift. Once you put a box that's too heavy to lift, you're going to injure yourself. It's awkward to move around. It's cumbersome to lug around. So that's part of the challenge.
Right.
So with this vehicle, yes, they've got the food bag, the fridge, a cooler bag, two of these soft PVC bags, which is one's got cutlery and pots and plates. And so it's split up between all.
And also chair bags. Now, I've always found that those type of chairs, getting them into the bags that they come with, a pain in the neck.
Well, they're just made to fit, aren't they?
Yeah, but your bags you've got in here are square, easy to get in, easy to get out, and because of this, the squareness, they sit in properly.
Yes.
And you can actually put softer stuff on top. Yeah. It just makes the packing
When I redesigned the bags, I actually had the corners stiffened up with PVC. because all the wear points on the core, on the chairs that go into a bag, quickly we saw with the old bags where they wore through. So it's the hard plastic bits in the bottom which rub away.
Yeah.
So all that got strengthened up with PVC. So yes, I mean, when you're looking to customize your vehicle, there's some solutions you can buy off the shelf, and the other solutions that you actually need to put a bit of work on. For a lot of people who do small trips, 2-3 weeks a year, they don't need all this. They're quite happy to use what this bag, the bag that this chair came in, and it's probably fine. You find when people use the vehicles for a lot longer, like on hire or an overland expedition where you're going for 6 months a year, that's when your kit really needs to be properly, not only properly fitted into bags, properly fitted into the vehicle. Because more often than not, the problems that occur on a vehicle are the bits that have been bolted to it. They haven't been secured properly, they haven't been used, nylock nuts haven't been used, thread lock hasn't been used, washers, anti-lock washers haven't been used, things haven't been glued on properly, or the wrong adhesives are used. They'll glue something to the side, to the wall, it's a set of plugs, and the wrong glue is used, and after a few, you know, 100 miles, that just drops off. So it's knowing when you build a vehicle that you want to make sure that bolts don't just rattle out. So coming back to the packing, however you're going to use your kitchen, which is something you use a lot of, that particular box or bag needs to be structured so that you're opening a box to get out your plates, your cutlery, your breadboard, that sort of stuff, and it's in one place. The same as when you're packing up items to change a spare wheel. You don't want to open the entire vehicle because more often than not, it's a difficult, dangerous place. You've got a lot of people around. One place, one bag, one spot, and you get your jack, your wheel spanner, your block underneath, your warning triangles, all that in one spot. You know, and then the items you don't use readily, like spares. I've watched people put spares in boxes with no extra padding.
Spares, as far as I'm concerned, spares, tools must be in soft bags. Otherwise, you get a bit of iron filings. Yes. They all rub together in a box. Yeah. Much better to roll them, wrap them in something soft. Well, I find
it works well. Better. And some of the sets you get are nice to be kept in the sets.
Oh, they are
nice.
You
can see exactly what you're missing.
Yes, but what I'm saying is steel rolling in a hard box.
Yeah.
It just ruins everything.
Yeah. And the spares I'm talking about mostly when people will get, let's say, a water pump, and you've got a very fragile gasket. Now, you'll get it from the manufacturer, and it's in a cardboard box. And the water pump may or may not be lying on that gasket. Well, that gasket's destroyed after you've driven a few roads. So I would take the gaskets and I would put them together in a piece of cardboard that I know those gaskets are going to be good when I need them, and they're on top. The water pump I would wrap in bubble wrap and tape it up and mark it. So all the spares in my spares box, and again, you know, there's a whole, what spares do you take? How much do you take? Well, it depends
on
your trip.
It's another subject.
But it's wrapping those up nicely so that they actually pack, and it packs properly in the box, and you've got a list of where things are. Once you've packed your vehicle and you come back to use it a few months later, you forget how you packed it, how it really worked. So once you do a trip, because it takes a good few trips to actually get to suss out exactly how you want to use your vehicle, what you need, what you didn't need, and I think that's the time you make the notes. So the following time you use your vehicle, you can actually just take that list out and go, actually in the glove box it was really useful to have these items, in the center cubby box this. Now yes, it sounds anal, but actually it saves a lot of time. And you know, the next time you head off on your trip, you've got everything you need in the sort of right places, and it works.
Yeah. I noticed that in the United States, and I'm not sure if it's the same in Australia, but the United States has taken on this thing called a wolf pack. It's the old ammunition style plastic box with the removable lid with clips.
Do you know how valuable that has been in the overland industry? I took them to England 20 odd years ago.
Right.
And I used to take sometimes half a container load of Wolfpack boxes.
Really?
Across. And you used to get them in different colors.
Why did they become so popular? Because they are so awful.
Well, they are and they aren't. I mean, the original ones were made out of a colored plastic. Green was the one color.
Uh-huh.
And it was more of a virgin plastic, so it took a lot more abuse.
Right.
Then they started making it out of recycled plastic, and you got the black ones. The Achilles heel on all of those were the clips.
Yes.
And then someone designed a steel clip.
Yes.
It was brilliant. It was one box that was stackable. It was a robust box. It was, remember, it was designed for the military.
Yes.
So, you know, it worked. There have not been a lot of boxes on the market available at that sort of price range. You can get some stunning aluminium boxes.
But they're really enormously nice, but they're expensive.
You know, and so overseas in England and Europe and that, you get beautiful Zargus dust-proof aluminium boxes, and I love those. But they come at a price. So, you know, there's in South Africa, we've used the Wolf box, we've used what we call the Goma box. They sort of fell out of the military and then fell into the overland industry because they were sort of affordable. They worked. It's a strong, robust box. You could sit on it. You could stand on it. You could kick it around.
I personally hate them.
I think a lot of people don't like them.
I just can't. I will not travel with them.
But they do work. They work for a lot of people. And yeah. The one.
It's a very common size.
Yeah.
And I developed a box about 4 years ago in South Africa. It was exactly the same size. It was called the Autograph box.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the company in South Africa are not really... They're interested in exporting them. Well, they say they're interested in exporting them, but
it's
they're
very
actually
difficult
not,
to take
I don't
a box
think,
to market. I mean, I think it's a tough one.
It's a tough one because they're very expensive to transport because you're transporting a whole lot of air.
Yeah.
And that's their limitation. So they've indicated that they want to export them, but my plan next year is to find a manufacturer and market them in the United States. Because the size, the Wolfpack is really good. A lot of people's packing system, they've packing system around the Wolfpack.
So
and
the
so
size
they put up
good.
With its downfall, you know, its yeah. problems because it's a really good size.
But the reason the size is so amazing is because it's actually you can't overpack them really, and you can still
you can always lift them. You can't.
They've got two good handles. They do waste a fair bit of space.
Yeah.
So you know, really, what we're saying about boxes and what you use, there are a lot of different boxes. There's some boxes in the UK called really useful boxes. Brilliant. They're clear, see-through.
I use those.
But I found that some of the plastics that the boxes are made out of, once you load heavy items in there and you drive on some bad roads, the plastic's too brittle. So you know, you ask why did the Wolf boxes become so popular? A lot of it was because the plastic could endure a lot of harsh punishment, and they stood up to a lot of abuse.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, whatever container you use to fit in your vehicle, it's got to be accessible. And also you've got to look at how you distribute the weight with that. Because if you've got boxes going in from the back of your vehicle, you want to be able to put the heavy stuff further forward. You also want to know when you take that box out, you've got, ideally, let's say a recovery kit in one box. And you've got a spares kit in your box, and maybe a repair kit, and a tool kit.
So, yes.
So it is. Yeah. It's dividing stuff up that you don't use too often, that you can get when you need to.
Yeah.
And again, we've talked previously about this, is about getting the weight right. We've seen on this trip alone, we've seen a few vehicles dangerously overloaded. The roof racks were just scarily overloaded.
8 jerry cans on the roof of a Nissan Patrol yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow.
And going down from Sales Pass. Where, you know, some of those areas are difficult, they're challenging.
Mm.
So, you know, the risk of the vehicle falling over is quite high,
let
alone the risk on high speed. So, you know, yes.
Packing systems for roof racks. Okay, roof rack bags. I've seen roof rack bag that can contain Wolf packs. I'm not quite sure of the purpose of them, apart from maybe keeping a
bit
of dust out.
Well, it was small dust, and to some extent, they're not waterproof in any way, shape, or form. So the bag does protect it against some of that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're using any box or something on the roof, it needs to be light, and it needs to carry the very, very bulky stuff.
Mm.
Bedding.
And bedding,
then
chairs.
Then you need to be putting that
bulky,
in a waterproof bag. You know, these sailing-type bags that you roll the top over are great for sleeping bags and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's dustproof, it's waterproof. In fact, I use one of those bags to wash my clothes.
Yes,
brilliant.
I've done that too.
Take that dishwater, water, what do you call it, soap. Great washing machine. Mm.
And then leave it in the back of the vehicle, behind the back axle, drive on some nice corrugated roads for a day, and you come back nice and clean.
It's clean, absolutely. So, you know, there's a lot of kit on the market that you can buy, which is heavy. So you'll look at brier grids and they'll be really heavy. And I think we focused on this before, but weight and quality.
Yeah.
So if you're buying kits, you want to buy a good quality kit that lasts. You want a chair that's comfortable but it mustn't break.
But again, where do you pack it? We're talking about
so anything
heavy
light,
stuff
anything
is
light
down,
high up.
Down low, light and bulky.
Yeah. And the space that's ignored when you're packing vehicles is the roof space. So behind, if there are two people traveling in a vehicle behind the driver's seat and passenger seat, you've got amazing roof space behind you. And a roof net, sort of a stretched across, It's fantastic for jackets and stuff okay, up above.
Okay, here's a question. Where do I get a roof net? I have so struggled.
Okay, there's a company in Joburg called Liftlash.
And they don't like the holes are far too big.
Yeah, but there's good value in that. You say that, and you're right. But because the hole's big, you can pull a jacket out from the middle, and
but
you
they
can
fall
push
out.
It back in.
No, I tried one.
You fold one. I've used them all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I have two, and I found it,
and I find that the squares are that size, the hole. And I found that if you find that's too big, the reason I like that is because there's no stretchy give. And I can get that nice and taut, like a shelf.
Yes, you can.
And I'm getting that much space stored.
Yes.
And I can actually unclip it and roll it behind the back seat if I've got four people.
Okay.
And I can do the same in the very rear of the vehicle when I've got, let's say, your drawer system. If you choose to use drawers, you've got the next layer, and then you've got that awkward space in the roof that you can't quite use.
Right.
And you either put a shelf across there that you can sort of access through the door, or you stretch a net across there. Or you use side cavity space, or you put nets like on doors opening up at the back where you can put a drop-down shelf. So again, it's where do you store stuff?
I've used nets in the cargo areas of station wagons, and they're a fantastic way of saving space for blankets and jackets and those and towels.
And then you're putting the light stuff high up again,
light
and
stuff
you're
high up
the lower
and
stuff
the
low down.
Yeah.
And if you can get your water and fuel in the chassis is prize number one. Second to that, you know, if people are traveling two people, I'll often suggest that they take the second row of seats out, build a frame that bolts into the original bolt holes of that seat. That's easy. Your fridge is heavy. Extra water is heavy. And if you had to carry extra fuel, that is one place you could put it. You know, it's not ideal, but it's a place where you can put it. But if you've got one, your spares, your repairs, your recovery could be put in there. But does need to be strapped down, and that frame needs to be solid, because if you have an accident and you've got all that weight behind your seat crashing into your seat, that could kill you. So, you know, when someone builds you a frame in a car or does any modifications in the car, it's got to be properly designed, strong anchor points, and you can anchor over the whole set of boxes down to the floor through proper anchor points. You know, these quick release anchor points are used with cargo rail. They're designed. They're from the aircraft industry. They take like 4,000 pounds braking strain to break one of those. And you can do this. As long as you, if ever you drill through, you plate it at the back to give extra strength. Because people, they bolt a hole through the floor and they put a nut at the back. And of course, that loading on that is tiny. If I put a big washer, I can actually spread that load. Yeah. So it's a lot about anchoring points and understanding the strength.
Yes. In terms of accident proofing a load bay and the vehicle, I would suggest that none of us, or very few of us who build vehicles, even the professionals, really understand the forces at work in an accident. And if you think it's not strong enough, it's not strong enough. You can make that assumption. You must make it go far over the top, go completely over the top.
It's true.
With
and
anchoring
there's a nice
your packing
there.
System, your anchor, if you're putting in jerry cans in the back, they're not just strapped down to a little. They are, you know, go mad.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned,
you know,
because
if
that
guard,
comes loose,
so if you've got a load
it will
guard,
kill you.
Yeah.
You
know, so generally, you put a load dangerous. Guard in behind the seats, or where the second row seat goes to the rear compartment. So you divide your car into the front driving seat, two people now, your middle loading area, which you can access stuff like fridges, which are properly strapped down. And then you've got your rear, which I put a load guard. And the load guard's designed to stop loose stuff flying around. I mean, your mobile phone on the dash, you wouldn't believe what that could do to you.
Exactly. This is exactly what I'm saying. So, we don't believe what these things can do.
I think the thing to do is that to make sure that every bit of kit is tied down. And has its place. So when you're packing a vehicle up and you come to understand how you're going to build this vehicle, you give thought to where this lives, and that's its home. And it takes a few trips and you'll come back and you might change things around. But if it's got a place and it doesn't rattle, because that's annoying, it doesn't jump up and down, it's not going to damage the kit, it's also not going to damage you.
Yeah.
And that's really, really very important that people understand that, you know, strapping everything to a roof rack is fine if it's very, very light. But the heavy stuff has got to be low down. It's got to be in the vehicle. It's got to be strapped down. So lots of different ways. There's no right or wrong way. I think as long as you can go back to the principles, is it safe?
Is it safe?
Is it strong?
It's all about safety if you think about it.
Yeah, is it reliable?
Because if it's going to be strong and reliable, it's probably going to be safe.
It's going to be safe, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's important. So yeah, good luck. Have some
Thank
fun.
You.